Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, let's hope this is a terrific Tuesday.
Not a terrible Tuesday. It can't possibly be. Crudy, we're ready to rock and roll. We got Evan on the board. We have our fair audience ready to join in with us. It's going to be fantastic.
Glorious weather here in the upper Midwest. That's a good start. Summer ain't over yet, for you kids. That's coming in a heartbeat.
I did actually see some geese flying in formation going south today for the first time. Yeah. I know. I'm sorry to bust your bubble, man, but it's true.
I'm going to be smelling pumpkin spice in no time at all.
Right, dude.
Dominic, here's my question of you today. Where does it stop? These very important questions being asked by Neil Cavuto over on the Foxy News today.
Yeah.
Where does it stop? He was grilling Democrat Ro Khanna on Biden's student loan handout. And his question, of course, where does this stop? I would say it doesn't go far enough. And I know that, you know, we've talked about this a little bit, Dom, but, you know, I wanted to talk about the student loan forgiveness in the context of the PPP loans. And the question of Neil Cavuto, never the sharpest of characters, but yes, when does this stop? Well, let me tell you, what's the maximum benefit being offered by the Biden administration to student loan borrowers? Let's say you're a Pell Grant recipient, Dom, and you make less than $125,000
a year. So 10 grand plus 10 grand is $20,000 in student loan relief.
Here in the state of Wisconsin, If you garnered that student loan relief, you are subject to paying taxation. That loan forgiveness under Wisconsin law, under current law, well, Dom, that would be taxable to you, the beneficiary. So if you got a benefit of, let's call it, you know, $20,000, you're one of those lucky poor people that is now eligible for right. Loan repayment, poor at the time when you received it. Hopefully you went to Pell College with the Pell Grants and got real smart, and now you're making some money, but not over 125 grand, or you wouldn't be eligible in the first place, right?
Right.
Means testing, all that kind of stuff. But you would have a tax bill of approximately, you know, just round numbers, about $1,100. In the state of Wisconsin, for that $20,000 of loan forgiveness, you're going to get stuck with a big bill. Now, the highest marginal tax rate in the state of Wisconsin, 7.65%. But you wouldn't be eligible if you were paying that highest marginal tax rate under current tax standards in the state of Wisconsin. But you'd still be paying, you know, let's call it $1,000 to $1,100 in additional taxation because you didn't have to pay debt back. That loan forgiveness has pushed you.
It essentially becomes income to the Wisconsin citizens as far as the state is concerned. And it is a legislative, and this is a law, the legislature could change that.
They could, because you know what they did here in the state of Wisconsin, Tom? They changed the law as it was in regarding to PPP loans. And the businesses here in the state of Wisconsin, let's not forget, this was a federal program, right? The PPP loans. The Paycheck Protection Program. And effectively what this was it was loans to the employer that if it was applied, you know, significantly towards payroll and other acceptable expenses would be entirely forgiven. And even if it wasn't forgiven, the loans were being issued at like 1%.
Yeah, cheap money.
Pretty sweet deal. So everyone went rushing down to their local bank, and everybody applied for it. And, you know, shocker, Dom, but a predominant of the, let's call them the richer, the better-to-do clients, well, they got the attention of their bankers, and they moved forward, and they were eligible, as fate would have it, since the standard was very, very low. You know, the qualifier for the first round of the PPP, they didn't set a very high bar. So if you had a good banking relationship, let's say you were a fairly successful business, you go running down to your banker, you get first in line, you get a sweet, forgivable PPP loan. And I,
now let's just be very clear on this. This is facilitated by the bank, but ultimately it's the U.S. taxpayers that are paying for this.
Same as the the loan forgiveness programs. Because we, the American people, are effectively the debtors. The college kids owe us the money. You know, they owe the National Treasury the money, but effectively we are, it's not Citibank in most cases. This forgivable money is coming from the federal government. It's coming from we, the taxpayers. And I see people all across the nation. See guys like Robin Voss complaining about the unfairness of forgiving these loans to these apparently, you know, undeserved student loan borrowers. You know, how dare Joe Biden do this? But I would point out, Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly right here in the great state of Wisconsin, according to ProPublica, was a pretty grandiose recipient of a PPP loan through his, what is it, Voss Industries, Robin Voss Enterprise, something like that. Go look it up. $297,600.
We'll just call it $300,000.
That rounds up nicely. Well, and he's got his legislative salary of $52,999, because $53,000 is just a little too much for Robin Voss.
Definitely.
So as I add up just one tax year, regardless of any revenues generated, he's got $350,000 in government salary and forgivable loans. Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, bemoaning the fact that you college borrowers might get a break from Joe Biden. How
might
dare he?
To 10, maybe $20,000 maxed, while he was the recipient of $300,000 in forgivable PPP loans.
That socialist, Joe Biden.
A socialist handout for me, but not for thee?
Let me tell you a little bit more about these PPP loans, Tom. As you know, I was a broke operator of a radio station in Milwaukee, WRRD, at that time. And I and my partners were eligible for a paycheck protection loan. What do you know? A lot of people couldn't advertise during the pandemic. Restaurants, bars, you know, you get the point. People closing down. But here's the tough part with the radio station. You've got an obligation to continue broadcasting. We're not a corner taco stand. We can't call it a pandemic and come back in 6 months. I am under certain obligations by license to continue operating. Now, did I have to play the super coolest lineup ever? No, but that was the choice we made. And therefore, we were eligible for the employees working for WRD for a PPP loan. If memory serves, it was about $41,000. And it's a public record. Go look me up. But about $41,000. And we applied, I think, dollar for dollar, every dollar towards payroll. Because that's what I perceived it to be for. To keep your guys on the payroll. To keep them showing up for work, even though it's a pandemic. And there are a lot of challenges. I mean, Dom, you remember, we started separating people. We started broadcasting remotely just to keep people from interacting and contracting this virus. But I would point out, I also, at the time when I bought that business, I had a small business loan. An SBA loan.
Yeah.
And I didn't even make application, Dom, but my SBA loan payments were put into deferment for like 6 months.
So you
not just
have
the
make
interest,
the monthly payments on it. You didn't have to make the interest payments.
Let me restate that. They didn't defer the payments. They made the payments. not just interest, also principal. So I, as a PPP loan recipient who also happened to be an SBA borrower, had the federal government took money out of one pocket to pay the SBA loan, but not just to offset my interest. They also paid down my principal for me, Dom.
That's very nice.
That was a hell of a sweet deal. And then as a PPP loan recipient, I had my loan forgiven because I, you know, applied it as eligible purposes. I paid payroll.
Proper with the money.
And here's the other great news, Dom. The state of Wisconsin legislated for guys like, you know, me and let's say Robin Voss, the assembly speaker. We legislated that we weren't going to have to pay state taxes either on the money that we gained from this loan. In this case, that's $41,000 for me. Now that's pales compared to the $300,000 Robin Voss took home. And then they forgave it, which is another taxable action, right? Theoretically, you could pay taxes. $300,000, that's pushing you into the highest marginal tax rate in the state of Wisconsin. But oh yeah, under federal statute, you don't have to pay tax on that. The forgiven money either. And under state statute, they followed the very same course. And then the federal government said, one more, I'm going to do you one better, PPP borrowers. We're going to exempt, if you paid, you know, let's say with the PPP loan that was forgiven by us, not taxed by us, let's say if you paid acceptable expenses you could otherwise write off on your taxes, we're going to let you write those off as well. So you can take write-offs, Jerry. You don't even know what a write-off is, Don, but you can take write-offs on money you borrowed that was forgiven to you. You were not taxed on either side, and you can exempt those things from taxation because you expended them on acceptable debts and acceptable expenses and not pay any state taxes or any federal taxes for that garnered benefit. So that was the PPP loan. And Robin Voss got one of those. And I didn't hear his socialist ass crying much when he didn't have to pay it back. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You're coming back. I can tell.
Where's the money now? Where's my money?
Mike, that's a very good question.
Hope you don't mind if I pay you in cash. I don't like Big Brother getting into my business, you dig?
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always be a part of this fine program. You can give us a call at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we'll go to the phones in just a minute. But I don't know if I made it abundantly clear for our audience that the benefit after benefit heaped on, gobbed on, for the employers that were the recipients of the paycheck protection, the PPP loans. A couple of other quick footnotes. Setting aside the rampant waste, fraud, and abuse. And I understand, and I actually forgive some of this, even though it happened under the Trump administration. And this seemed like as a recipient, it seemed like a pretty damn sweet deal. If you want to give me $41,000 or give me a loan at cheap interest, I would have still taken the money.
Was it easy to get through? Did you use the same SBA relationship that you had with a bank? I mean, how easy was it?
Well, you know it wasn't easy, Dom, because I didn't care for my SBA bank at the time. But having that relationship gave me a banker to call. And, you know, knowing that if I was eligible for that, then the bank got paid, 6 months in advance? They wanted me to get that loan. They wanted me to get that debt forgiveness. I mean, they were calling me, telling me about the benefits. Oh, man, it gets better. And and you get the Genzu knives and this and that. And I got to tell you, I felt quite benefited. And when it came time to file my taxes, if that PPP loan had pushed my firm into profitability in Milwaukee, and you and I, You helped me with the books for a while. You know, I wasn't profitable even with the 41 grand. But had it pushed me to the point of, you know, taxable profitability, I'd have gladly paid it because I kept my guys employed. I kept my company afloat. I honored my licensing during a pandemic. I honored the nature of my relationship to the audience. That was all important to me. So anyways, we survived with the money. But if that wasn't a good enough deal, you know what the federal government did, Dom?
What's that, Mike?
They offered round two, PPP 2.0. And this time you had to really supposedly need the money, and you had to go out there and you had to prove that there had been a diminishment of revenue or profitability. And it could be over the year. It could be over a quarter. No, Devil Radio was never eligible for that. You know, we were going in the right direction. We didn't go backwards during the pandemic, thankfully. So we weren't eligible here at Madison at Devil Radio. But I can tell you, that sweet deal, the deferment of payments coupled with multiplied tax benefits. First and foremost, they didn't construe it as income, even though they gave it to me. They didn't construe it as taxable income, even though they forgave it to me. And then they took whatever I paid off my taxes, and they didn't tax me on the expenses I paid with their money, your money, taxpayers. And I was one of the ones, I counted myself fortunate. Again, we stayed in business. It was a godsend. But then I talked to one of my guys, and he said, well, we'd have been better off on unemployment. You know that, right? And I'm thinking, boom, stab me in the heart. Right. But, you know, speaking from his own perspective, from the employee's perspective, he didn't garner any benefits showing up, you know, just because we were an essential business and a pandemic's going on. He was out there exposing himself every day to the COVID to try and keep this radio station running like we all were. But I would just point out, it was a pretty sweet deal, all things considered. And those that would turn around like you, Speaker Robin Voss, and bemoan these student loan borrowers that would garner a taxable, significantly smaller benefit than you personally garnered, Robin, I would just say, look in the mirror, man, and shut the blank up, please. And let's go to the phones.
844-967-2789. There is no shame. There is no hypocrisy. As long as they get theirs, everyone else can go right to hell. Jake from Milwaukee, you are up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jake.
You know, I was just thinking maybe if you sold tacos at WRRD, you'd still be open down there. But
I think I should have done high school football tacos. By the time... Yeah. You know, we had lots of problems. Probably the ownership. I mean, that guy was a real loser. But we had certain limitations of signal, Jake. We weren't a 24-hour signal.
Yeah.
And that made it hard to even go cover high school sports, right? Well, they all go past dark. And we were off the air dark. So a lot of the things that I have done differently as we've, you know, reinvented ourselves, gone back into Waukesha. I mean, we've got some of the greatest high school football play going on every Friday night. You should tune in, Jake. Waukesha South, 2-0 on early on the season.
I like the fact that you went to deep red Waukesha too. I love it, actually. But my thing about the student loans is, you know what the big issue is? How many billions of dollars are going to go back into the economy right away? A good economy means. But
I think that people will have more disposable income, and I would tend to believe you, Jake. If I'm a student loan borrower and I had a $250 a month payment and I didn't suddenly have to make that payment, either the entirety of my remaining debt had been forgiven or, you know, it allowed, well, I guess they probably aren't going to recast the loans. You're still going to have the payments, but let's say it paid you off. Well, I'm going to reinvent what I'm doing with that $250 a month.
No question.
I know you're going straight to the bar.
Well, and
or Beloit.
Unlike you know, tax cuts for the wealthy who will take them and, you know, squirrel it away, most likely, this money will get recycled into the economy. And perhaps that's the justification that the Republicans need is all inflation. But I don't see that as the case whatsoever.
Well, here's what I would say, Dom. you know, I took all my stimulus checks and paid additional taxation on them. But unfortunately for the taxpayers of the great state of Wisconsin, it was all at Illinois-based dispensaries. And the exorbitant taxes I paid were to the great state of Illinois. But it was worth it, all things considered. Still worth it. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Always worth it when you call it 844-967-2789.
A dump truck full of money up to my house. I'm not made of stone.
Screw you, taxpayer!
Under pressure.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Dom, I think I'm done ranting on that topic, at least. Moving on for now. For now, I want to turn my attention to the column of Daniel Bice. We know him from the Journal Sentinel. Something of a political gossip column, or at least I think it devolves into that at times. And I feel like Dan today's carrying the water for conservatives and Ron Johnson. And, you know, occasionally he carries the water for the left and the Dems as well. But I know it's going to be a bad day when I hear Vicky McKenna saying, wow, Daniel Bice finally got it right. And here is the column that she's so damn happy about. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes had 10 times more hours of security than his predecessor. Now we're talking about, you know, questions of fairness, perhaps, and expenses to the taxpayers. And isn't governance in some way, shape, or form, Dom, isn't it just somebody else making decisions on how to spend our money for us?
In a large part, certainly.
Distilled down to a certain degree. But here's what Bice says about Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. If Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is elected to the U.S. Senate, he's in for a big change in security and transportation. Unless they hold one of five leadership positions, senators don't automatically get officer protection and drivers, as lieutenant governors in Wisconsin have from the state patrol since 2011. Barnes is a Democrat running against Republican Senator Ron Johnson. In his first 3 years as the state's number two, Barnes has averaged more than 13 and a half hours of security protection a day, including weekdays, weekends, and holidays, at an average daily cost to the state for $660 for patrol officers' wages. Now, let me stop in the middle of reading the Bice gossip column and point out, our lieutenant governor's out there working more than 13 and a half hours a day. Holidays, weekends. This is it's not a go punch the clock 9 to 5. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, when I see this, I think, man, this guy's out there busting his ass for the state of Wisconsin. But that's probably not the way Vicky and Dan Bice interpret this, Tom.
Well, and not only that, if we're going to, you know, look at those kinds of numbers in that context, then can you then say that he worked 10 times as hard as his predecessor, Crudy?
Well, they did sort of, you know, back burner Rebecca Clayfish. She was not exactly Scotty Wanker's first choice.
She
wasn't. That was Brett Davis.
Around the state of Wisconsin like Mandela has been.
Well, and before Rebecca, there was no security detail for the lieutenant governor. Our pal Barb Lawton, I love Barb Lawton. Barb Lawton was the lieutenant governor Democrat. Never had a security detail. Now, of course, the political climate sort of went up after they dropped the bomb that was Act Tenet. Wanker and Rebecca, they were all part of that administration.
And the political climate has certainly continued to get worse since they dropped the bomb, Curdy. The Republicans of today, we long for the Republicans of 10, 20 years ago, dude, and that's saying something.
Well, Vicky McKenna said, you know, the explanation for this is going to be that Mandela needs all this protection because he's black. And I'm thinking that might be true. A little bit more. Ron Johnson's officials were highly critical of these security costs, labeling them excessive. But Barnes staffers say all decisions about his security detail are made by the state patrol, not the lieutenant governor or his staff.
Boy,
which I would say sort of makes the rest of this article irrelevant, Dan Bice.
Right, dude.
You know, it's one thing.
The state patrol decides who's going to be where and when and for how long. Not the client. Minor details.
A little bit more here, Dom, from the Bice piece. You know, all of this being superfluous because we just found out it's not Mandela's choice when he does or does not have security. That decision is made external of him by the state patrol. But anyways, here's a little bit more. Nationally, security costs have gone up as the number of threats against public officials have increased. If you'll recall, Dom, very recently in Wisconsin, former Juneau County Circuit Judge John Romer was killed in a targeted shooting. Governor Tony Evers' name was on the hit list kept by the shooter. The campaign for Barnes, the first black lieutenant governor, declined to say whether he received threats. They don't have to. Mandela's getting threats. A little bit more. Referring the question to state officials to answer, state security officials said they do not detail threats to public officials. The political climate is extremely divisive, and the security realities are probably much different than his predecessors due to both his race and policy views. Per commercials we see running, according to state senator Lena Taylor, who's a Milwaukee Democrat, and in case you think she's, you know, in the Mandela camp, well, she beat him. Mandela ran against Lena Taylor. They're not exactly fast friends at this moment. But anyways, since taking office in 19, Barnes has received security protection not only at official events, Dom, but also for campaign and personal activities. His predecessor, Rebecca Clayfish, declined security while performing personal tasks. And one last thought, Dom. Becky, according to, you know, your girl, Vicky McKenna, Rebecca Clayfish, probably was packing. That's why she didn't need the security detail when she went to the Piggly Wiggly or, you know, the whatnot. The health club. She's packing at the health club.
You know, like to compare a Becky Clayfish, white suburbanite Republican woman from 2011 to Mandela and that political climate and where we were then to Mandela Barnes, a black lieutenant governor running for Senate in this political climate, is apples and oranges. There is no question in my mind that Mandela is getting way more threats and probably way more legitimate threats. I'm not talking, you know, sending pizzas to someone's house. I mean, the megas and the QAnon, I mean, this Republican Party is back guano crazy. And we've seen examples of this all over the place, anywhere you look from, I don't know, maybe the governor from Michigan, right? Gretchen Whitmer. Well, some Wisconsin citizens were part of that. Oh, we're gonna kidnap this woman, right? I mean, crazy. They're going to trial for this stuff, man. This is crazy town. So absolutely, Mandela Barnes deserves whatever protection the state patrol sees fit to provide him.
Yeah, but you haven't heard the price tag. I mean, sure, it pales in comparison to the Gableman fiasco, but still getting to be a bigger number. Let me read. Overall, the cost of providing security to Barnes during roughly his first 3 years in office came to a whopping, as Bice's descriptor, a whopping $608,528. I mean, I'm pretty sure Gableman pocketed at least that much. For a total number of secured hours, 14,370. The state provided records to the Journal Sentinel for the period from January 19 to November 2021. That's more than 10 times the number of hours of security detail that Clayfish received during her entire second term from 15 to 18. The total number of hours of protection that Clayfish had over that four-year period was 1,377, an average of less than 1 hour per day. Clayfish also didn't make a high-profile run for Senate while lieutenant governor. Numbers for her first term were not available because the state didn't break out the specific security costs for the lieutenant governor until 15. Records show a sharp increase in security costs for the entire unit during Clayfish's first term.
Crudy, Manny McDaniel, a Barnes spokeswoman, said the State Dignitary Protection Unit makes the decisions as to whether to provide a high-profile lieutenant governor with security for any particular event or day and how many patrol members to use. The Dignitary Protection Unit, which is part of the State Patrol, provides security for the governor, to the governor, his family, and staff. It also provides security to other elected officials, including the lieutenant governor and those visiting Wisconsin on official business. McDaniel said, quote, "We follow their guidance to ensure the safety and security of the lieutenant governor and the people he encounters across the state, which is of the utmost priority to the campaign. In accordance with the recommendation of the Dignitary Protection Unit to ensure the governor and lieutenant governor's safety, we do not comment on specific details pertaining to the lieutenant governor's security."
McDaniel, can I ask, said, how much money they spent protecting the foreign dignitaries that were the Foxconn people? I mean, I bet that got to be a hell of a price tag. You know, is anyone keeping a running tab on the Foxconn fiasco and the cost to the taxpayers of the great state of Wisconsin? And then maybe, you know, throwing in a Gableman for good measure and the, you know, private lawyers that we, the taxpayers, pay every time Republicans go on some wild goose hunt. You know, let's call it gerrymandering for their own personal benefit and incumbency. You know, that all starts adding up to a big number.
And again, if it's them, they don't give a damn. It's fine. It's their governance, right? It's
all, yeah, it's they all also good. Are making specific policy decisions, malfeasance, I would say often, but their actions are leading directly to these price tags. I mean, what's Mandela not supposed to leave the house, not supposed to go out and do public events as the lieutenant governor who's, I got to think, Dom, occasionally under threat?
You think running for Senate. A little bit more here from Vice, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. On Friday, Evers' spokeswoman said there has been no change in our policy of relying on the judgment of security professionals to determine the appropriate level of protection. But Alex Zimmerman, Johnson's communications director, blamed Barnes for an increase in his own security costs, which he called outrageous and unprecedented. He said it is hypocritical for the lieutenant governor to use the state patrol as his own Uber service when he favors defunding police agencies. Actually, Barnes has said he doesn't personally favor defunding police, but he is backed by a half dozen groups that support doing so. The hypocrisy of a guy who has so much open contempt for law enforcement abusing taxpayer resources is stunning, Johnson spokesperson Zimmerman said. Oh, so they're playing politics with it, of course.
Well, that's all they ever do, Dom. We are in the political silly season. You know, the real campaign starts on Labor Day when Joe Biden comes to Milwaukee. It's not a coincidence that he's going out on the campaign trail. You know, the midterms are just down the pike, Dom. People start turning their attention. Now, the really good ones have been listening all along, each and every day, right here to the devil's advocates. And some even participate in the action at 844-967-2789. But come on, Bice. I thought you were better. I mean, maybe I suspected you weren't, but it's a non-story if he doesn't get to make the decisions about the security extended to him. I mean, it's one thing if he said, hey, man, let's go to Chicago. I'm going to Chi-Town. Well, he certainly has the right to set his own personal schedule. But he doesn't decide who is accompanying him in terms of his security detail, and therefore, I think it's a little disingenuous for Bice to, what, blame him? This is Mandela's tenfold expense over what Becky spent.
I don't quite get that out of Bice's reporting. I mean, it is a conversation piece. I think there's some nuance to it. I think the difference in political climate, and there's certainly the difference in the candidates and their beliefs in the world we're living in now is justified. And if that's the case, and Mandela has the security when he goes to run a marathon in Chicago, okay. Would you rather have him be exposed to some maggots and you know, something terrible happen? Because what? Because the Republicans think they're going to save a dime? What Republicans, what would you do with the $600,000 that has been expended so far on Mandela Barnes? What would you do with the money besides tax breaks?
Extend the Gableman investigation to its logical conclusion with the decertification of the 2020 election, of course.
Of course.
And a point. Something logical. and pragmatic. And, of course, a justified expenditure when they do it.
Come on.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, but how much are we paying for Donald Trump's Secret Service security, do you think?
Oh, I can't even fathom what that might be, Dom.
Yeah, but that's totally justified. So it's okay with it's, you know, the rich white ex-president traitorous bastard. That's no question there. But if it's the up-and-coming Mandela Barnes who's going to kick Johnson to the curb, well, then it's something the Republicans have got to be worried about.
Come back. More Devils. 844-96. Party!
This is dangerous, son. You got to know how to handle it. One wrong move and you're done for.
Mahoney, I've already told you once. Nobody screws with me.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And that takes the time.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to those meddling devil's advocates. Phone lines are open. Going there shortly at 844-967-2789.
Dominic and then Bice, deep in the column, offers this scoop. Barnes, Mandela Barnes, the lieutenant governor currently and U.S. Senate nominee from the state of Wisconsin, the Dem nominee, Barnes apparently started receiving security protection even before he took office. I ran into him at a concert at the Rave on December 1st, 2018, a month before he was inaugurated, and he introduced me to his security staffer. Ooh, you got a scoop there, Bice. How do you know it wasn't private security? But anyways, I read on. Barnes is fortunate that a bill he co-sponsored in 2015 did not become law. I'm not sure that he is, but I'll read what, you know, Bice's take is. When Walker ran unsuccessfully for president that year, you remember when Wanker ran for president?
Yeah, he was
what a maroon.
0.0, if I recall.
There at the end in Iowa, it was truly tragic. I mean, the guy only had a 71-day campaign, you know, his official campaign. Of course, he was breaking campaign finance laws from the very beginning. A campaign in waiting from January of 15 till September of 2015, but whatever. When Walker ran unsuccessfully for president that year, and he was what, mailing it in?
15 minutes a day, baby.
He claimed he would have a 15-minute-a-day staff call, and that was, you know, covering his $144,000 a year annual salary. That's all he owed to the people of the state of Wisconsin, you know, 15 minutes a day.
Well, when you're such a competent and efficient governor, you know, things just kind of run themselves.
And he was running primarily in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina occasionally, you know, other states, right? What even in the state that he was the governor of at the time, that guy? That Scotty Wanker, that failed guy. Presidential candidate?
Yes, that's the one they're talking about.
So anyways, Mandela Barnes, and we talked early in the Spice column, he's working, what, 13.5-hour days? Holidays, weekends. The worst accusation Bice can make is he went and ran a marathon in Chicago. Daniel Bice, you go run a marathon. I'll write an article about that. So anyways, we boil it down here to the end. Specifically, the proposal that Barnes made, because Wanker went and ran for president on the state taxpayer's dime, specifically the proposal said, an elected state official who is considering running for federal office must submit monthly statements identifying the official's travel expenses from the previous month, including security costs and staff expenses. Then that elected state official would have to reimburse the state for all campaign travel-related expenses within 30 days of submitting the report. McDaniel says Barnes stands by the proposal, and he also already reimbursed the state of Wisconsin $22,000. $22,000. So I would kind of say he's being a man of his word, Daniel Bice. And why is it at the very bottom of the article that you're mentioning the fact that the Barnes campaign has already reimbursed? Let me read this specifically. First, the statement from McDaniel, the spokesperson from Barnes. Lieutenant Governor Barnes has always championed government accountability, which is why his Senate campaign has gone above and beyond the reimbursement and reporting that it's required by Wisconsin state law. And Bice now notes at the very bottom of the article, paragraph after paragraph deep, here's what Weiss takes note of. So far, the Barnes campaign has reimbursed the state $21,920 during his U.S. Senate campaign. Barnes officials said this figure covers the cost of mileage on state vehicles, but also incidental expenses incurred by state patrol while on overnight travel, including hotel rooms, meals, and rental cars. So what's the problem? What's the problem? Really? I mean, really? The guy takes trips all around the state of Wisconsin. Is he also running for higher office? Yes. But go look at the job description for the lieutenant governor. He's here in case Tony has an untimely hitting by the bus or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's the spare. The spare doesn't really have a defined job role. But he's been out all across the state of Wisconsin each and every, I mean, I see this guy every day. He's out there somewhere in the state of Wisconsin. And their biggest complaint is what? That people threaten our lieutenant governor? Threaten his bodily harm? Because that part's sort of short shifted here. Don't talk about what might be the threats that would necessitate full-time public security for our lieutenant governor. Because he's a big guy. I think he could take care of himself in a street fight. Apparently he can run marathons, Dom. So I don't think it's, you know, the guy is spooked. And, you know, frankly, I think he's doing okay, relatively speaking, single guy. I think he could probably afford his own Uber. I don't think it's the Uber thing. You know, it's amazing that Becky Clayfish's security detail got cut in a third when they gave her a personal driver. Almost like she was using her security detail as her driver. And when they gave her a driver, well, what do you know? Her security detail went down by a third. Well, maybe they should offer Mandela a better driver or a cheaper one.
But does it really?
It's got to be some old retired guy.
So you take the money and put it from one column to another. You're still using state and citizen taxpayer resources to provide security and or transportation for the lieutenant governor. I mean, we do this.
Well, Dan must have been limited to words because I didn't see him flush that out in this column. You know, trying to, what, undermine our boy Mandela Barnes for, you know, being a public target due to his profile, his charisma, and the fact that Republicans are butthurt. They still haven't gotten over the fact that Scott Walker lost. And I would remind the listeners of this fair show, he never did concede, still hasn't conceded, just like Trump in that regard.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. It's remarkable here that first off, on your first segment there, you're talking about, so not only did Robin Voss get the $300,000, if he paid that out on expenses, he also doesn't have to declare that as income, but he also gets to deduct the expenses that he used that money to pay for, so he actually decreased his tax liability.
Yes.
Because you could still deduct those expenses.
If instead of taking the profitability, and let's assume Robin Voss continued to operate, continue to sell popcorn. I believe he owns rental properties and has a popcorn factory. So he kept cranking out the popcorn during the pandemic, right? And presumably they sold some popcorn. So all the money that comes in the door, you stick in your pocket. But all the money that came in from the PPP loan, you go pay the expenses, and then you get to write the expenses off, and you get the loan forgiven, and you get to pocket any profitability you had, although you might be subject to some taxation, but only on the profit.
And sweet deal there. I mean, that's a sweet deal. She shouldn't be criticizing the fact that these kids are going to get forgiven the $10,000. And the whole thing of them, Daniel Weiss not stating that Barnes is kicking money back, for the security expenses. And you brought up the point there is that things have changed.
Well, Weiss mentioned it. It was just right at the end. And that part,
the whole thing, Mark,
that doesn't ever change. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Hour 2 is next.